This community update was brought to you by Euradio. A new exhibit at the Manitoba Museum is shedding light on a chapter of Canadian history many people have never heard about. For the first time outside of Vancouver, the paper trail to the 1923 Chinese Exclusion Act is now on display, bringing long-hidden stories into the public eye. Launched in collaboration with the Chinese Canadian Museum, this marks an important moment in sharing these stories across the country, according to Grace Wong, board chair with the Chinese Canadian Museum.
Because the paper trail chronicled 400 stories from across Canada, the impact of that Chinese Exclusion Act on those families, on those individuals, then we always knew that we would want it to travel across Canada. So this is the first stop. And, Manitoba Museum has been wonderful. They saw right away that it would be important to host this exhibition. So we're very grateful that they did.
The Chinese Exclusion Act of 1923 was a federal law that nearly banned all Chinese immigration to Canada, following decades of discriminatory policies like the Chinese head tax. This exhibit also reveals the human impact of this law through documents, photographs, and personal stories that trace what historian and curator Catherine Clement calls the paper trail of exclusion.
The Chinese Exclusion Act was a monumental chapter in Canadian history, like unprecedented, and yet mostly forgotten, not taught really in high schools. I mean, I never heard about it when I grew up. And it's been lost in many ways, even though it was such an unprecedented chapter.
Clement says even within Chinese Canadian families, this history was often left unspoken.
I was actually really just looking to collect these different kinds of certificates, which are all part of the documentary evidence of this act. But then as I began to talk to families who gave me these, I would say, well, tell me, what you know about what your grandfather or father went through during the Exclusion Act. And that's when I was met with overwhelming silence. In fact, I would say the majority of Chinese Canadian families with a direct connection to this would say to me, I have no idea. What are you talking about? What is this Exclusion Act? Is that the head tax or the same thing?
Between 1923 and 1924 alone, more than 56,000 Chinese Canadians were forced to register with the government, carrying identification at all times or risk fines, detention, or deportation. The result was decades of separation, isolation, and loss.
But when we started to actually excavate the stories and the material and all the government documents, that's why we call it the paper trails, all these paper trails that helped us to understand what really happened to people, the kind of human cost and impact of this act, which was in place for almost a quarter century, it was far worse than I ever imagined it to be.
The exhibit also brings these stories close to home. Thomas Rempelong helped trace the history of his relative, Henry Yi, a man who paid the head tax only to be separated from his family when the Exclusion Act took effect.
He went by Henry Yi here, and from what we found, he came to Canada in 1917, paid the head tax, but then, as Catherine mentioned, not that long after that, the Chinese Exclusion Act came into effect, and turns out that Henry was married and had at least two children. So we could tell the initial effect would have been he would have come first, and then in time when he would have earned the money, he would have brought the rest of the family over. But the Exclusion Act took effect before that could happen. So all of a sudden, overnight, he's now separated from his family.
He lived the rest of his life alone. A bottle of Crown Royal, once meant to celebrate another's family reunion, now sits unopened in the museum, a quiet reminder of what he lost.
When I was doing some decluttering and my grandfather was still around, I had specific instructions not to touch that cabinet. Of course, he wouldn't say why, but 1962 was the year when my father and grandmother got the approval to come to Canada. My grandfather himself, he had come in 1952. So there was a decade separation. So we gathered that this was almost call it a thank you celebration gift, where, you know, my grandfather's got the good news, his family's going to be reunited. And the interesting thing was, this bottle obviously was never opened. Maybe Henry was honored or, you know, grateful for the gift, but he wasn't ever going to open it.
On opening day, students walk through the exhibit, many encountering this history for the first time.
I think different people will bring away different things. So, for example, for those whose direct family members or relatives or friends were directly impacted, it has that sense, as I indicated, of kind of legitimizing, reaffirming their own histories. For others, it's understanding about the segment of history and its impact on the people. In totality, it is about building that common understanding that ultimately we build a stronger society. So, you know, people understanding each other's history and appreciating it.
By bringing these stories into the light, the Manitoba Museum hopes to ensure they are no longer forgotten and that awareness can help shape a more informed future. With You Multicultural and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ryan Funk.